B-Pod Studios.
The games are back.
Bergeron hammers it home.
And they're back on the Sports Hub with the guys that know the teams.
For three, got it.
And without paying a monthly fee.
Into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
For the Pats, the Celts, the Bruins, and the Revs. Listen to Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We have major developing news this morning as the plug may be pulled on the fall college football season at some point soon. More discussions being held today after the commissioners of the Power Five conferences held an emergency meeting yesterday to discuss the possibility of canceling or postponing the fall sports season. We've been talking about it a lot this morning, and Adam Schefter, our NFL insider extraordinaire, has something that I think NFL fans, all sports fans, will find a very interesting part of this story. Schefty, go.
Well, Green, I think the NFL is sitting back and waiting to see how this all unfolds in college football. I think there has been some thought given to the idea that if college football goes away, and nobody wants that to happen, but if it does, the NFL then, after I think baseball wraps up in late October and the NBA in mid-October and hockey in early October and the presidential election, there would be a span there where there would be nothing else on the sports calendar but the NFL. The NFL already controls the sports calendar, but it's possible it could move even more games to Saturday.
All right, so there's the latest from Adam Schefter this morning. The NFL talking about filling the void of the loss of college football with Saturday games. But the first piece is where we start. Murray, what's the latest on college football and where it stands this year? The Big Ten reportedly is already done?
Yeah, but that was reported out of Detroit, but that hasn't been picked up by ESPN or any of the big national outlets, so that's why I haven't gone with it. I mean, the big thing that's trending right now in regard to the story is that the president retweeted Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence with his own message supporting the 2020 season and using the hashtag We Want to Play. But there hasn't been truly anything official that I've seen on any of the big outlets, whether it's CBS, ESPN, Yahoo Sports, wherever.
What do you think, Murray?
What, that they're going to tank this thing or get rid of it? Like, look, I get it. Like, insurers are probably telling these schools and conferences they're not going to be insured against liability if anything happens with the players in regard to COVID-19. So I get that. My concern is in regard to the NFL. The NFL is supposed to open 1 month from tonight. And I don't want to see them waver. And I don't think that they're going to. Look, I know we've screwed it up as a country with the laughing stock of the globe and blah, 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 and all that. But it's too late. Like, toothpaste is out of the tube. I want to see the NFL hammer through. I don't care if that makes me a rockhead and an a-hole. And, you want to send me the angry emails about this. It's too late at this point. Just go along with the plan. That's what I want the NFL to do. Play football. We'll all be fine.
What do you think, Mass?
I think the college season is toast. That's what I think. I think it's gone. And look, they're different, right? One's pro, one's, in one case you're talking about kids who are amateurs in theory, if not anything else. So I think the college season is toast. The idea of playing the NFL 2 days a weekend doesn't bother me. Yeah, given the relative shortage that we've had, I'll take it. And, if I can watch NFL games on Saturday and Sunday, again, I'll take it. My concerns with the league have more to do with what it means for the draft and everything else. Like, purely logistically speaking. So, do all these kids who would have been draft eligible, do they get to stay in? Do they get to come out? Like, what are the ramifications there? You now have to draft kids you didn't see play for a year. Like, there's all kinds of variables there. But in terms of the programming, I'll take it. I'll take football on Saturday and Sunday. I don't know about you, but you can't give me enough.
And it'll show you how stupid that the NCAA truly is, which they are. But they're going to, they're going to cut off their nose to spite their face because they're worried about the long term of how to pay these athletes. Like, if you really, truly cared about this and you want to have college football, well, then switch it up and pay these kids, because now you really don't have to worry about them from an insurance standpoint, right? Or as much. But they're not going to do that. And they're going to tank the season. And that means long term, they won't end up having to pay these athletes.
So, we're not big college football here in this town or on this show. And so it's not like it's a real direct loss, but I would hate to see them bang it. And I think they're going to. I think it's over. I think that's going to be a real loss, Maz. It's just going to be one less thing. It's going to mean, you know, they don't have enough NFL to cover all day Saturday. It's not the same. I like having, even though I don't watch it, I don't really invest in it. It's on and it's important and it's, you know, like I'm going to miss the product. I want it there, even though I'm not a P1 to college football. Like all sports, I want it there. I'm not watching every baseball game. I want baseball there. So I'm not watching college football, but I want it there. And it'd be a real shame. But I don't know what else they do. And the reason it's different is because a lot of these schools aren't inviting students back onto campus, right? Or it's going to be remote learning, even if you are on campus. Or there's, you know, all sorts of different, you know, different schools are doing it differently with on campus, off campus, remote learning, etc. So, but you can't shut down a school and say, no, actually, the football players are going to come and live on campus, and now there's really no classes, but we're playing football. It's like, to me, that's the whole mechanism. There's just no way around that.
Yeah, the whole thing to me, I told you, I'm not a big college football guy. You grew up in Wisconsin. I grew up watching BC. Okay? Like, that's a totally different thing. And so, I will say this, though. Like, particularly when they get to the playoff system, you know, they implemented that. I started paying attention more and more, and I did watch, you know, and read about the draft because I wanted to know who the big players were. So I look at it purely as a feeder system to the NFL, and which is okay. I think there's great value in that. Which guys can play, which guys can't play. So I'll miss that part of it. But to me, again, you can put on two NFL teams on two games on Saturday in the NFL, and I'll watch them. I will watch just about any game they put on in the NFL. It's the one sport that I am 100% buried into like that.
Okay. So we'll take your thoughts on that at 617-779-0985. Maz was out on Friday. He missed the quarterback press conferences from Cam Newton, Stidham, and Hoyer. Do you have any thoughts on that? Leftover thoughts, Maz, here on the Reentry Monday.
Boy, it didn't take Cam Newton long to get brainwashed, did it? Wow. I don't know what you guys said on Friday.
So I wasn't here, but I thought the same thing. It's like, oh, someone's bought in.
I mean, he had that one exchange with Mike Reese asked him about the round table he did with OBJ, and Victor Cruz is on that one too, right? Mm-hmm. Where he was sitting with those guys, he says, yeah, well, you know, on the round table, you said you were worried about how you and Belichick were going to mesh, and Cam Newton says, oh, yeah, you know, I say a lot of things. At the end of the day, it's about football. And I went, whoa, there you go. So I started to wonder, like, is it waterboarding? Do they actually perform some sort of surgery? Or is it like, you know, they recondition your brain? What do they do exactly down there? Because it took them 10 minutes to just start spewing the company lines. Yeah.
They fine you or they send you packing.
Seriously. Like, wow, that was fast. That might be one of the most historic turnarounds I've ever seen. They completely removed his personality. Completely. Total, like a lobotomy, for crying out loud.
Well, so this is why I laughed when Newton was carrying on the way he was carrying on in the offseason. And, you know, we say, well, culture fit. And the Bobos, oh, my God, the Bobos would say, Bill doesn't care about that. Bill's going to do what it takes to work with this, but Bill's going to, you know. And then he gets there, and he's literally talking as if he has a ball gag in his mouth. which one is it? Because now I'm hearing from the same people. That's the Patriot way, and that. So which is it? Does Bill like that stuff or not like that stuff? Does the way Newton was carrying himself in the offseason fit with the Patriots, or does it not fit with the Patriots? Pick one, okay? Pick one, as opposed to just, you know, at every turn trying to bluff somebody. Use your brain if you have one. Okay, so what is it? The way he was carrying himself here in the press conference, does that indicate to you the way Bill wants it done? When he's finally under this roof and finally in camp and finally again under the control of the team, how did he carry himself? And so what do you think Bill values? How do you think Bill wants a player to carry himself? And do you think Newton was carrying himself that way with that round table with OBJ and some of the other stuff? Use your head.
Oh, totally. I mean, it didn't take them long to get their claws into him. Like, he just totally bought in. That's how I took it. And look, at the end of the day, that's good. It's good for them. It's good for him. You don't want that thing to be some sort of battle right out of the gate. So, and I thought overall Newton sounded like a guy, like every once in a while someone would ask him a question that you could tell there was a little bit of like, oh, geez, would you stop at that? And which I think is a good sign. There were certain, you know, to me, but he's in. He's all in. And if you're a Patriots fan, that's a good thing. But they have completely erased his hard drive. Completely.
Reprogrammed. So, Maz has some more thoughts on those Friday quarterback press conferences. Your thoughts on college football and how it impacts the NFL. Would you take NFL all day Saturday, Sunday versus college Saturday, NFL Sunday? Even though I don't, again, the more NFL you put on, Maz, there is diminishing returns. I've said this a million times. I can handle 17 games. I can handle 18 games. Where I think they spread themselves thin is Thursday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night. That's what Cuban was talking about when he says hogs get fat, pigs get slaughtered. He was talking about, and every single time I do this, I forget the name, the quiz show.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire when they went five nights a week? That's what he was talking about. That's exactly what he was talking about. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire five nights a week, spread themselves too thin, cratered the show. That's where I think the NFL spreads itself too thin, when there's too many days of it. So I want college Saturday, NFL Sunday, but how about the rest of you? We're an NFL town. Would you rather just be wall-to-wall NFL both those days? So your thoughts on that, more on the quarterback pressers on Friday with your calls at 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Maz.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Hey, Cam, you've accomplished a lot in your career so far, but in comments you've made so far this offseason, you seem pretty motivated. How much would you say you have to prove, if anything, heading into the season?
I don't have to prove nothing. Because at the end of the day, especially not to nobody, I have to prove to myself. That's a daily challenge. And I don't think nobody's expectations will ever surpass my expectations for myself. And I'm just looking forward to the challenge. And, you know, knowing and picking up this whole system, not only the philosophical way of the offense, but also, you know, how things are ran. You know, this is a new team. I've only been kind of geared toward one particular team and in one particular city, but now moving, you know, to a whole nother residence has kind of put the onus of trying to adapt, and that's something that has been rather the interesting part.
All right, so that's another Cam Newton comment that stood out to Maz back on Friday. Why, Anthony?
Because you can hear the resentment in the voice for the question. He was asked, "You have a thing to prove to everybody." I don't have anything to prove to anyone. What are you talking about? I don't have to prove anything to anyone, because he knows it's true, and it pisses him off. Because he's been in the league 9 years. He's won an MVP. He's been to a Super Bowl. He's been a good player. He's a number one pick. What do you mean I have something to prove? He's pissed. He's pissed about it. And again, if you're a Patriots fan, this is good. This is good news. Because this is exactly why you wanted him. This is the whole point of getting him. Because he sits there, you can hear it. I don't have anything to prove to anyone. As soon as a guy says that, you know he's pissed. You know he's pissed. Like the idea that I got no respect. That's what he feels like. 9 years, I had a couple of injuries. Everybody wrote me off. So I don't have anything to prove to them. I only my own state. He's in, I don't want to say he's in denial. That's not right, because it's there. He'll never admit it publicly. He's pissed. Pissed that he had to wait that long for a job. And that's good.
Back to your thoughts on everything on a re-entry Monday. Michael in Salem on the college football situation. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, hey guys. So, I mean, here's the thing with college football. I mean, college football is honestly, in my, like, I like it better than the NFL. I'd rather sit there and watch Alabama host Georgia in week three in September than watch, I don't know, Arizona go travel to Cleveland personally. But, I mean, it looks like the SEC wants to push forward and play. I know Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, said he wants to keep playing, and so doesn't the ACC commissioner. But, I mean, who knows? We could have Alabama play Clemson in the national championship again. Just to, whoever wins the conference goes and plays. I think that could be really interesting.
Well, that's what it is anyway. I mean, it's, you know, it's Clemson versus the SEC. Like, that's, I'm sorry, that's the way it's been for a while. Like, that's not – so at the end of the day, maybe the national – you know, the Final Four is not going to be much change except for that one Big Ten team that gets its doors blown off. So it won't impact that. But whether you watch Michigan-Ohio State or not, it's good that it's there. If you're a sports fan, you want it there. I mean, I don't watch the PGA Championship, Maz, but I'm glad it was there.
Yeah, me
too. It was another set of highlights that I got to watch, and another no-name, you know, nobody golfer wins another major. I get to rant about it. It's just a little sliver of content, and I'd say the same thing about the college football season. I'd say the same thing about all this. I want it all up and running. I want it all going.
Yeah, and if it's a year, too, like that you have quarterbacks are going to be coming out that will be top five or top three in the draft, even if you're not that big of a fan, you'll have your eye a little bit more on it, you know, because there's going to be, you know, everyone wants to talk about the quarterbacks.
Well, not just, I mean, Saquon Barkley, you know, I mean, I don't know, a really stud running back, the Chase Young, but, you know, so, you know, the stud NFL players come out of the Big Ten, and you see them develop through the course of the college football season, and who knows, I don't think this is happening, but it's possible the Patriots could be a high draft pick kind of team this year, a top 10 draft pick kind of team. You don't want to watch those players and have those players, you want it there, and I would hate to see it not be there, but that's where I think we're headed, Maz. I mean, I'm with you. I think college football's done this year.
Yeah, and again, I told you, my concern is really the impact it has on the NFL, because that's how I look at it. I'd watch college football to watch the players mostly. And again, when they get to the playoffs, I'll dig in. I'll watch some of those games. But I'm more interested in the players and whether or not those guys can get into the NFL, what have you. Like, who's the linebacker the Bears took out of Georgia? Roquan Smith?
Yeah.
A couple of years ago? Okay, I saw him, I think, in a playoff game. Or maybe it was a late season, you know, conference playoff game. And I remember thinking, oh my God, this guy's a stud. What a stud. That's where he popped on my radar. So again, I miss it from that standpoint. But with all due respect, Wisconsin playing Michigan State, oh, please go blow your tuba somewhere else.
I could take that personally, but I'm not going to. Jeff on Cape Cod. Go ahead, Jeff. What do you got?
Mike and Felger, how long is your toilet paper list going to be if Boston gets bounced in the playoffs and Montreal's still playing?
Oh, my God. I'm going to lose my mind. But it's coming. I feel it's coming, Jeff. And don't say I've felt this way for a long time. Murray knew it, too. This is just the kind of thing that Montreal would take advantage of, and the Bruins would absolutely crater. It was just that it was setting up that way. You knew it was coming.
Here's the other thing. When's the last time a president team won the trophy and won the Stanley Cup? It's all a different story when you get to the playoffs.
Yeah, usually those teams don't come through. Chicago won it all as that team a couple of years ago. It, you know, look, to me that's less of a story than the Bruins. What happened to the Bruins? What happened to this team with this wonderful edge and this motivation? They were on a mission all season long. And because they lost Game 7 of that Cup Final to St. Louis, and they, you know, it felt like they were focused to atone for that all season long. And so now they reset. Now you're in prime position just to pick up where you left off, continue that mission, and you've lost it. Why? Why? Is it because you personally got all pissed because they took away the number one seed and made you play for it? You go, ugh, that's not fair. We're going to treat it like the preseason. And so that edge you had all year is now gone because you're pissing and moaning about the stupid round-robin format. And the next thing you know, you've lost the edge and you can't get it back. Is that what happened? Because that, to me, I don't know. You can be another explanation.
Well, so you and Murray must both be conflicted, right? Because you both wanted the Bruins to play better and you wanted the number one seed, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
But you didn't want to play Montreal, right?
Silver lining, Mess.
Okay, so you realize that if they had been the number one seed, they would have gotten Montreal.
And they would have lost then.
Yeah.
So you must be happy that they're playing like ass.
Silver lining, like I said. But, you know, isn't this setting up, isn't this so Montreal, where they, you know, they're the effing 12 seed. They had like a 0.3% chance of making the playoffs when the pandemic hit. They were nowhere near the play. They weren't in the playoffs. They were looking at Lafreniere in the top 10. Like, they weren't in it. So now they get gifted this thing. They upset Pittsburgh in that preliminary round. Now they're in the thing. And because of the way the round robin shook out, they don't get the one-seeded Lightning wagon. They don't get the one-seeded Capitals wagon, you know, recent Stanley Cup champion. They get the Flyers, who are, I'm sorry, a fake number one seed. Fake. I like that Flyers team. They're fine. They're up and coming. A lot of things to like about them. Young goalie on out. Great young defenseman. That Provorov's freaking stud. Like, I like the team. But they're a fake number one seed. So Montreal draws the Flyers? Like, that, like Murray, This is, you knew this was coming from the Canes. And all of a sudden, Carey Price is hot. You knew it was happening.
A couple of weeks ago when you were both out, I had to do the DraftKings bet of the week, and I was looking at it, and the Canadiens were plus 200 going into that series against Pittsburgh. I told the people, yeah, bet this. Montreal's going to win this series. And sure enough, they did.
Of course they did. Of course they did. And the fact that Maz can't see it, well, that's his problem, not mine.
You two are pathetic.
Jerry in Dorchester on Cam Newton. What's your thought?
All right, I got one thing about Tony the Monk Maserati, because he's been talking good news. And then I got Felger. Dude, you can't deny it. You talked about a running back as Saquon Barkley as a difference maker. Cam Newton is a good player, as Tony the Monk said. Cam Newton is going to make a difference, and I think that's it.
Okay, Jerry, solid take right there.
What's the whole Tony the Monk thing? I don't get it.
Oh, it's the mouth, I thought he said.
Oh, Tony the Mouth.
Tony the Mouth.
Oh, I thought he said the Monk.
I thought he said the Monk.
Well, what do I know?
Yeah, I'm going into, you know what I mean.
What can I tell you? I don't know. I'm just talking about, I do running backs on your own time. I'm just saying, not that I watch Saquon Barkley or I care about Saquon Barkley. The fact that he was on Saturdays and there were highlights and you people were taking your pants off for him and you couldn't wait to draft him in your stupid fantasy league, like all of that, I just want all of it, whether I'm watching it or not. And you may not think so. You may hate. I'll even take NASCAR being on, which you won't find someone who hates stupid car racing more than me. I want it. I want it there. I want those races running and the jobs being kept and the business being done. I want it all. And so should you, whether you like college football or not, whether we're college football. So you could say, you know, Wisconsin, Michigan State, take your tube and blow it out your ass, Maz. You don't really mean it. You don't really mean it. You want sports. Isn't it better to have something on and then purposely, intentionally ignore it versus not have it?
Oh, sure. No, I would like the choice. Yeah, I told you. I miss it from the NFL standpoint. But at the end of the day, am I going to miss BC playing Holy Cross? No, thanks.
That's happening? Never mind. Okay, we've got a Red Sox minute for you coming up here right after Big Jim Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's not complaining.
Oh, you're the mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
He'll go after that one and drive that one high. It's deep to left, and that ball's gone. Well, there's number two. He didn't wait very long to hit his second. Don't you think the Red Sox have to make sure he's in the lineup every day?
No doubt. I'll tell you what, we haven't really seen the kind of power. Obviously, he hit a home run last game, but we haven't seen the opposite field power.
That ball is hammered. That's a high fly ball, twisting deep, deep, deep. Gone! Verdugo strikes again, and the Red Sox lead it 5-3.
Oh, this kid's starting to get off now. The third home run in 2 days, and you talk about two home runs over the Green Monster. This is a high sinker, really. He gets on top of this thing and drives it way back. This is not a cheapie here.
Yeah, his swing angle is a little bit different right now than it was just about 3 or 4 days ago. I mean, he's swinging a little bit of an uppercut swing to lift that ball, and he's lifting it. That ball was very deep to the opposite field.
This is a high fly ball driven deep to right. Verdugo back to the pen. Leaps up. He caught it. He caught the ball. He took it back. Holy
what a
cow.
Night. What a night.
And is he loving that play? He brings some energy.
I was just going to say, boy, that extra run went a long ways, and he snatches it.
You hear that dude screaming?
Yeah.
That was him.
That's him.
Pretty darn good night for Alex Verdugo.
Quick Red Sox minute. Alex Verdugo obviously catching everyone's eye, as he pretty much did from the opening day, from the first weekend. He caught people's eye. Friday night, hits two home runs, saves another in front of the Red Sox bullpen. Red Sox still hanging around. I think they're 3 games out of the wild card, 3 games under 500, so they're still sniffing around. But Verdugo, Maz, your thoughts?
Okay, so the thing that struck me about those two homers, aside from the fact that they were the opposite field, and the second one in particular, they were deep. They were deep. I think he's built for that ballpark. And the first weekend of the season, if you remember, he had a three-heat game where he had a hit to all fields. So he's not afraid to hit the ball to the opposite field. And said, in fact, I would even say it's kind of preferred to him, which, again, if you're a lefty in Fenway and you can start peppering that wall or going over it, you can put up some numbers. To me, there's a bunch of angles with Verdugo. Okay, one, they're right. Eck and Remy and those guys are right that he should be playing every day. Two, I think if he's what he looks like he is, Benintendi becomes expendable. And I would think about trading Benintendi if I'm the Red Sox for some pitching. Might not be this year. Might be during the offseason. Might be next spring. But somewhere in the next year, if this is what Verdugo is, I'd get rid of Benintendi. And third, because Remy made a reference to it. If they're starting with this launch angle crap with this guy, it's a mistake. Like, if that's what it is and they want him to jack the ball, I would say leave this kid alone. Leave him alone. Let him spray the ball all over the ballpark. He's way tougher to defend.
He said something over the weekend that you liked, actually?
So he did say that he has not altered his swing and that, you
do
know.
Do we have that?
I don't know if Jimmy had. Do you have the cut? Yeah, go ahead, Jimmy. Play it.
Yeah, I think, you know, my game is I hit line drives from left field line to right field line. People think that I'm changing my swing, but it's not. It's just when you see the ball better and you have more time, I'm able to now let my hands work and get out in front of me. And now I'm not getting so tied up, beat, and just topping balls in the ground. I'm getting that barrel out, getting extension, and finally seeing the ball, you know, kind of fly off the bat like it should.
Okay, that's what I hope it is. I hope that they're not sinking their claws into him and turn him into another launch angle clone. Like, I can't stand that. This kid sprays the ball, and I like that. I like it a lot. Now, I was getting alarmed about the ground balls. All of a sudden, I'm like, Jesus, this guy hits a lot of ground balls to the right side. But if he's telling me it was some sort of glitch and they fixed that, if he can pepper that wall, oh, this kid will hit 310 at Fenway. If they don't mess with him, he looks to me like he can play baseball.
Okay, he's important though, because too he's got a way about him, as right. He's got an attitude, energy, which oh my God, do they desperately need? And he sort of brings it. He brings a little edge to the proceedings that you know, even on their best days, the Red Sox, they're kind of a button down team. You know, I mean, I know Betts is gone, but Betts and Bogarts and these guys, Bradley, they carry themselves a certain way. It's not like there's any firebrands in there, and so this guy gives you a needed jolt. Just the way he carries himself and the things that he says. He was asked about the Betts comparison after the game, after that great game on Friday night. Even this quote was pretty good. Go ahead, Jim.
Alex, here's really replacing a guy, Mookie Betts, in right field. Why doesn't that seem to have affected you at all?
Because I'm not replacing him. You know what I mean? Yeah, he played here, but this is a game. This is a business. You know, he decided to go elsewhere. I'm not replacing him. That's what you guys say. That's what everybody else says. I'm going out there and playing right field. I'm playing my game. I don't think about Mookie. I think he's a great player. He did a lot for Boston. He's going to do a lot for the Dodgers. But, you know, I think about me being here and what I'm going to do and what I'm going to bring to this team.
Little attitude there, Mass.
Totally, yeah. Again, he does. He's got an sort of like the same thing that Newton was saying, right? I don't have anything to prove to anybody. It's that kind of chip, and they could definitely use that.
All right,
there's a little Pedroia in him, a little bit.
Okay, there's your Red Sox minute. You can weigh in on that. We can get back to your other thoughts. So we liked those comments from Verdugo. Some comments we liked from Brad Stevens as well are coming up with your calls.
Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger, Mass.
Okay, when you call and say two things, three things, you're going to have to wait for me to reach for a pen.
Number one.
And then I'm going to have to write it down.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
I, for one, am not smart enough to keep two or three things in my head.
Felger, Mass.
So we prefer just a single thought.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What can you make out of a so large victory in a game against possibly a team you're going to see in the playoffs?
Yeah, this game will mean nothing if we get that opportunity again. So they're a really good team. You know, I thought they missed a lot of open looks and just wasn't their night. Thought our guys played well, though, and but it won't mean anything in a couple weeks.
So that was Brad Stevens after the Celtics' big win Friday night over the Toronto Raptors. There was another one that was part and parcel with that one, Jimmy. I guess it was Stevens 1, question and answer from B-Rob, where it was a similar sentiment. Give me that one, please.
You know, all year long about just trying to find the best guy to compliment your five best players. Just how good do you feel about the spot you're at now after a few weeks down there and seeing the performances about it from a number of guys on the bench?
Well, on Wednesday morning, I didn't think we were very good, Brian, so I'm not sure that I've changed just with two nights sleep. So we played a little bit better the last two games. We have a long way to go to be where we want to be.
Okay, so this is what Brad Stevens should be doing, Maz, and I think it's an indication that he's feeling good about his team because he's playing the reverse psychology game on you right now. He's talking about it's not going to mean anything if you face him again in the playoffs and you don't play well. 2 days ago, we sucked. So when he starts playing that game, I think you know he's feeling it.
Yeah, absolutely, because he also knows he's got a relatively young team that's got a little bit of an attitude. So, again, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum act like they've accomplished things in the league, and he doesn't want them to get too cozy and too comfortable. So it does. You know, I noticed that, too. His tone was very much of, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves here. You know, it was one game.
Well, because he had to deal with that just last year, right? With those two specific players, especially Jason Tatum, that they got ahead of themselves and got big heads. So he doesn't want that to happen again. So good for him.
Yeah, these guys think they beat Cleveland in Game 7 at home 2 years ago, right? Like, this is the one thing that's going to hold the Celtics back if anything does. It's just a little young. You know, it takes a while for most guys to win in the NBA. They just don't quite get it. And so Stevens realizes it. I think that's the way to play it. And I think that Friday game was a scary game for the league and a scary game for their opponents in the East and is an indication of what the Celtics can be. And Stevens knows it. He knows it, and he doesn't want his players to get too far ahead of themselves. And so good for him. He had one more cut, Maz, that you wanted to hit on that you liked?
Yeah, so this related to Jason Tatum, who if you saw yesterday's game, and a lot of people may not have given the opponent and you know, the weather and everything else. But Tatum made a couple of big shots at the end of that game. He made a three and then a two at the end of regulation that effectively forced overtime. And then massive shots. They were down five with like 40 seconds to go. And he scored and made the big shots. And Stevens was asked about it. Here's how it went.
Every good player wants to shoot the last couple shots. But I think he recognizes that there will be times where he'll shoot it and times where he'll have to dish it off. You know, we have a unique team in that regard where we have a lot of different guys we can go to and will go to. But he is, you know, the big three off of the rebound was excellent. And then the poise to get that shot and get to where he wanted to and take his time and score the ball was good, too, when we were down two with however many seconds left.
I mean, the beginning of that, well, he's smart enough to know sometimes we're, you know, going to ask him to dish off. As if to say, don't think you're getting the ball at the end of the game every game. Like, that's how I took it, because that's sort of Kyrie disease, right? That when you get to that stage, it's, you know, the game in Orlando where Kyrie got all yanked because the ball ended up going from Hayward to Tatum, and it was supposed to go to Al, and it never went to Kyrie, and the star player takes a shot at the end of the game. Stevens is clearly telling them and wants Tatum to know, no, you got it today because the situation called for it today and the matchup called for it and everything else. We're not going to do it that way every game. And so, to me, he sort of put on alert there, like, just make sure you understand.
Do you think that's a mistake, Maz?
Not necessarily, because, again, with these two, and I you sort of throw Brown and Tatum together, but it's really more Tatum than Brown. The ego is massive. Massive. And so the last thing you want him to become is this prima donna who thinks it's all about him. So, you know, to me, because sometimes the pass is the right play. I mean, we've talked about this. Jordan had to give up shots sometimes and kick it out to Paxson or to Steve Kerr or whatever, and that's the right play. And so, now look, again, it depends on the circumstance and where you are. But, you know, I think Stevens just wants to make it clear to Tatum, you know, this is how it worked today. It might work differently another day. You don't want the ego to get too big.
All right. Reentry Monday continues with your calls on everything Bruins, Celtics, the football stuff, even Red Sox. Your call. Richie and Everett, though, on the Seas. Go ahead, Richie.
Hey, how you doing, Michael? Just want to say that the Celtics, I think, are going to benefit from, you know, the bubble, not having to play a home game or play against some of these teams at home. I think they have a real chance at winning it, but they're going to need Kemba Walker to be Kemba Walker. And I think Jaylen Brown's got to kind of get his head back in the game a little bit. It almost sounds like talking more about some of these outside issues than he is basketball.
Okay, talking about. He said talking about this.
Yes.
It was sort of hard to figure out.
Yeah, it was close.
Okay, so wrong. Brown's been one of their best players.
Yeah, he's been good.
From the jump.
Yeah.
And then he talks about social justice issues off the floor. Who cares?
Right.
I mean, it's important. And like, I'm not saying who cares about the topic. I'm talking about, why do you care? I don't care. If he plays great and comes out after the game and wants to whistle zippity-doo-dah out of his tuchus, he can do whatever he wants as far as I'm. If he's playing well, what's it to you?
And it shouldn't even be a surprise anyway, given that, you know, the first, right after the George Floyd murder and everything, like, and the protests started up, like, he immediately left here and went down to Atlanta, where he's originally from, to start protesting. Like, you knew this was going to happen with this player in the first place.
I mean, I think there's a, you know, again, it's hard to know, but Brown feels to me like he improved during the pandemic.
Yes.
During the shutdown.
He's been awesome.
Like, he clearly was working on his game because he's gotten better.
And so maybe it's like, maybe in some ways the social justice thing has brought about evolution in his game, or it's given him a more awareness or something. I don't know. He's just more invested overall. And I think the whole thing, if it bothers you, man, pound sand. I think it's a fair trade-off.
Yeah,
for some of these guys who the cause is very important to them and it's near and dear to their heart, and some were conflicted about even playing. And so the trade-off is Black Lives Matter is on the floor and they get to put what they want on their jerseys. And when they get in the post game, they're not even going to talk about the basketball. They're going to talk about Breonna Taylor or something. And if that's the trade-off and they're going to ball the way Jaylen Brown is balling, go freaking nuts. It's a fair trade-off.
Right, and if it bothers you that much, just don't watch the postgame or don't read about it or whatever. But in terms of on the floor, if there's a core guy you maybe want to be a hair concerned about and then get on him for play, I got to say, I don't think Kemba Walker was great yesterday. And it looks like he's getting a lot of shots blocked, or the shot looks flat a little bit. Like, you know, and Maz brought up earlier, too, how Gordon Hayward mostly kind of sucks against good teams. Like, there's guys you can point out for poor play. But the after game off the court stuff, what they're talking about, like, yeah, get over it.
I mean, I don't even think it's a trade off. Like, I look at it as he is, you know, I just think the caller doesn't agree with the cause.
Right.
That's what I think. I think that the had Jaylen Brown been talking about the national anthem and standing for the flag and all that, the caller wouldn't have any problem with it at all.
Well, no, but normally I'm one of those guys is like, can we not talk politics, please, here, and just talk ball? Like, typically speaking, but these are special times in a different circumstance. And if that's what it takes, I mean, if it's inspiring, it feels like this might be inspiring Jaylen Brown. I mean, maybe that's what the word I was searching for there before, because I do feel like his game has almost never been better to me. And maybe it's inspiring him. So you won't take that as a Celtics fan, no matter what side of the aisle you're on? What's the matter with you?
Yeah, I like the way he's playing right now. And I'll tell you, he feels like a guy to me that wants to be noticed. So whether it's on the floor or off, if they go hand in hand, to me, that's a good thing.
All right. We've got an update here from Big Jim Murray. When we come back, the other side of the coin, the Bruins, the suck bum Bruins, and your thoughts on where they stand. 90 seconds to no spots, and we're right back here on a Reentry Monday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.